Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Nice to have everybody back.
Sure.
I was putting a water glass over
there. Mike, what happened? So what happened with your glass, Mike?
I don't know. I just came and I was put into this.
All right. So what are we doing this to?
Okay.
To what?
To life.
Oh.
Why? Do you have something to change there?
To the podcast. We are all together.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's a good one. What about you?
If I don't come here, I don't see you guys.
That's true.
So, yeah,
what would you cheers to?
It sounds like you're mad.
I will cheer to the health.
The health. To health.
I thought he said something else.
The health department.
Because you know you can be alive, but if you're not healthy, what's the point of being alive? Sometimes it's better to be dead.
Mm. You can be alive, but not a Milan fan. But what's the point of that?
To Milan. Look at this. This is, you see the red and the black right in one combination. It's a black and red, guys. Look at this. È un rosso nero.
Rosso nero.
What do you got on the bottom?
What's on the bottom? What do you mean?
Backwash.
Actually, it's got a nice color, right?
Yes, yeah.
It does. Nice. What are you guys, artists all of a sudden? what is it? What
would you say?
The color.
It's a shade of...
Oh, wow, you're right.
It's not too dark. It's not too light. You know,
it's like perfect.
The water. Right? It's perfect. It's light.
Mm. You're a philosopher.
Refreshing.
We should start a wine podcast.
I mean.
None of us know anything about wine.
We're going to drink wine and forget to record.
We know how to drink wine. We don't know anything else. Do you know anything about wine?
I do.
What do you know about
wine?
My nephews,
you know them in Bari. Uh-huh. They have and my brother, God rest his soul, he was a sommelier.
Really?
Yeah. So they sell wine. I mean, they sell specialize in proseccos and wine.
Okay, but
very cool.
We're talking about you.
Are you
a sommelier?
I think I'm not a wine 100% wine man.
He's
but
a freeloader.
I appreciate wine. And I can just give you some very good suggestions.
Yeah. Are you a wine connoisseur?
I am, sort of.
So
he's a wine freeloader is what he is.
The connoisseur that I am, when I drink the wine... Mm-hmm. If I don't get a headache the next day, it's a great
good wine.
And I could taste it if it's really good, you know, but I don't know much about wine.
Listen, you might be a sommelier. You don't even know that you are one of them. So we're going to give you the certificate at the end of the podcast. We'll see if you make it to the end.
You know,
with
if you take a trip to Napa Valley, you know,
California,
it's a nice
forget
trip
about Napa Valley. Yo, let's make a trip to Italy.
We're in Italy, Napa Valley.
We'll go watch a game.
Believe it
and
or
then
not,
go to like Tuscany.
Well, you got to go to Tuscany.
Vino,
what are you talking about?
Bari.
If you Google right now in front of everybody. Who's the one that made California famous for the winery
Carlo
of California?
Rossi.
The Pugliese, the people from my town, from Bari.
Yeah, your town?
Bari. Yes.
Torremare.
Yes. No, Cattaro Rutigliano. Just watch it. Just
so funny story. I had somebody that knew a lot about wine, so they asked me to taste 6 or 7 different types of wine, and they said, rank this in order from most expensive to least expensive. I did in the exact opposite order. The most expensive wine I listed as the cheapest, and then the cheapest wine I listed as
the most
expensive.
I do prefer the cheaper wine. I feel like the cheaper wine, for some reason, I don't know if it's my...
Yeah, because in Greece, that's what they do.
You like sweet.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's
You know what they told me? They told me you have an American palate.
Wow.
You have an unrefined American palate.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're not used to the high-class wine. Anyway, enough about wine. Let's talk about culture. And since we're on big topics, good topics, I have a hot take that I don't know if many of you guys will agree with. Maybe it's not even a hot take. I believe that Inter this season is better than Napoli of last season. Now, let me explain. Napoli last year, after 28 games, 71 points, 23 wins, 3 losses, 64 goals scored, 20 conceded. Inter, after 28 games now, 75 points, 24 wins, 1 loss, 70 scored, 13 conceded. I feel like this Inter side has more ways to hurt you. Better quality individuals, bigger depth. Napoli last year was amazing. They had like a ridiculous year. It was magical. It was beautiful. It was emotional. What do you guys think? Who would win? Last year's Inter or this year's? This year's Inter or last year's Napoli?
Well, definitely Inter this year. They have the numbers. And, you know, Napoli faded the last 4 games, but especially the 2 games with AC Milan and, you know, one leading to the semifinal of the champion. And they lost in the Campionato, a very important game for them. I mean, not that it made a difference because they won the Campionato anyway, but
Well, Inter, to be fair, could do this exact same thing. So
no, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because the competition, like AC Milan, Juventus, and all the rest of us, we just does not exist. It does not exist. I hate to say that, but it is true.
What do you think, Pete?
I don't know. The Napoli team was special. I think for sure Inter would challenge and could beat. I think it was more of a 50-50. But I think that Napoli, just the season that they had, it was a team that destroyed Juventus 5-1. So, I mean, I think Inter probably are capable to beat an opponent. But to do it like that, in that emphatic way, I think, you know, that Napoli team was special. And really, you know, I was thinking, okay, Inter can win in so many different ways. But I remember Napoli doing the same thing when they had to. And they had to win 1-0. They had those special moments, right? Giovanni Simeone scoring that goal versus, who was it? Verona, maybe? I forgot now exactly.
It's good, I guess, Milan, spectacular one.
Milan, I remember Osimhen against Osimhen the Roma.
Versus Roma.
That was a big
so
one.
They will win those one. That's and then point. When they had it to win the 5-1, they were able to do that. Whether it was Raspadori, Simeone, Osimhen.
Even Di Lorenzo became famous.
Everybody
last
was,
year.
Was scoring. And I think it was just a matter of like, it was hard to really beat Napoli. And yes, this Inter team, it's the same. I understand that, but I think there was just something special with Napoli and just like the real meaning behind everything. 33 years in the making.
So Antonio and I, 2-1, we both say Inter, you say Napoli. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
I think that Inter is very strong. And I think that Inter went all the way to the final Champions League. So I like Inter. I think they are a stronger team. But when you look at the game, it was nice to see. And somebody like what Cara did, Caraschelia did last year, it was something special. And when you look at the game, it looks so good to look at Napoli the way they move the ball.
So who would you say if they're gonna?
Inter is the stronger team.
Yeah, at their best.
But my eyes, when I looked at Napoli, I really enjoyed the way they play, the way they move the ball, and especially Caraschelia, which last year there was no player like him.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
Yeah, I think if we had to pick, Napoli did play that attractive, fun football to see. I think they played one of the best football in Europe at the time, and everything aligned perfectly with them. But if I had to pick and choose, I mean, it's pretty tough, but I think overall, I think this Inter is just a machine. It's one of those teams that I think is going to be remembered of that, you know, 2023-2024 Inter, where Inzaghi took the years that he needed to build this well-oiled machine. And not just individually they play good, they play well as a unit too. For Napoli side, you can say they had a few players that they just had a good season, like Rahman, you can say, Politano was there. And Spalletti just made it work. And
Kim In-jae.
Well, I think he was good regardless because he made the move to Bayern too. But Inter, I think they have more goals than Napoli from last season already. Better defense than them already. And I think they dominate the games more than Napoli did. They show more no mercy to their opponents than Napoli did.
If we played a fun game, I'm going to run through each position. You guys just tell me which one you choose. Mm. Goalkeeper, Sommer or Meret?
Sommer.
Sommer.
Sommer. Sommer.
Sommer, yeah, definitely. Meret. Yeah. For now. Oh. For what I've seen Sommer. So far.
Defense, Pavard, Acerbi, Bastoni or Di Lorenzo, Kim, Rachmani, Mario Rui?
Di Lorenzo, Kim, yeah. Kim. So yeah, definitely.
Inters.
Inter.
Yeah, Inter.
Inter. Oh. Midfield, Darmian, Barella, Hakan, Mkhitaryan, Di Marco, Zielinski, Anguissa, Lobotka.
Inters.
No, Napoli again. Zielinski, Anguissa, and Lobotka.
So how did you use Inter?
No, because I'm just saying the difference. The difference would be.
What did you say?
Yeah, Inter.
Even though I like Barella, I'll do anything for
strikers.
Barella.
Attack. Lautaro Thuram or Politano, Osimhen, Kvara. I'm going to go with Napoli on this one. Osimhen and Kvara were Mito. Unreal last year.
Kvara was unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree.
Mito.
I agree.
What do you say? You always just want to do the opposite of what we say.
All right, I'll give it to you this time.
Yeah. Wow. Say whatever you want.
It is. Napoli. Napoli, yeah.
So you chose Napoli in every category except goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. But you have Inter winning the game.
And listen, Inter, I'll tell you the difference. I'll tell you the difference. Napoli did not have had the competition. It had some competition at some point, but Inter doesn't. They don't have any competition.
It's almost exactly the same.
No, they're not.
Last year, Napoli.
No. The Inter, if you see it on the field, the way that we're competing, there is no competition. It's like an automatic thing for them this year. Napoli, they added the
grind. Maybe they're making it look like
they
it's so
easy.
What are you talking about?
They added the grind a little bit.
No, they did not. They're better than the other team.
They are. But that, what I'm okay. saying, they have no competition.
But there's no competition.
No, they have. We're not making them suffer for their win. They just go over there and they take the game. And they, on top of everything, they get some ref, you know.
Listen,
that
I tell
them
you,
out.
I tell you one thing. Inter suffer with Bologna. Okay.
But they've managed to win.
They still managed to win, but Bologna, to me, deserve to at least a tie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Genoa, they didn't deserve to lose. So,
just to, I was trying to check your point just to see if you were accurate
and
or not.
Was it?
No. this year, there's a 16-point gap between, stats. Hold on. This year, there was a 16-point gap between first and second at this exact point. Last year, there was exactly a 16-point gap between Lazio and Napoli. 55 points of Lazio, 71 points. So.
Hello.
How many passes forward, backwards, and your accuracy and the lateral passes? How many times did he pass back?
I forgot to ask you guys. Inzaghi or Spalletti? Coach.
Inzaghi. I'm sorry.
Well, you got to look at it. 1 year versus
Spalletti. Just give me an answer. The best version of Napoli versus the best version of Inter. Who would you take in a final? Which coach?
In a final is different.
In a league or...
on the Champions
League.
In the final, Inzaghi.
No, the final.
In the final.
We're talking about
who's better?
Last year.
Who's better?
Last year, Spalletti.
Who's better? I'll go with Spalletti too.
I'll go Inzaghi. Because it's not such an easy question. It's not a black and white question. It depends.
All right. Before we get on to the rest of the topics, we have a very fun giveaway. I don't even know if everybody at this table knows that this is happening.
What's happening?
But for everyone that is listening right now, we are going to take one person to come with us on March 24th, Italy against Ecuador, Red Bull Arena. We've purchased 8 tickets. We're going with our entire crew. We're 7 total, but we're going to add one person that's watching this podcast right now to watch the game with us. We're going to tailgate before. We're going to have some fun. We're going to watch the game. We're going to film some content. This idea came from Peter, by the way. Peter Curto. And all you have to do, it's very simple. There's one thing that you have to do to be able to enter this. It's you have to subscribe to Serie A's Calcio Weekly newsletter. Mm-hmm. Very simple. CalcioWeekly.com. Subscribe to their newsletter. Get all your news in English.
Every week.
From Serie A. It'll come to your email. Very easy. They aggregate some of the best things that you'll see online on the internet. And send us a screenshot that you did it. Just so that we have proof. Send it on Instagram, Twitter. No matter what, we'll find it. But if you are in the area, even if you're a little bit further out, this is a free ticket to come here. Simple. Sign up to the newsletter.
Guys, click the link on the top of the description. All you got to do is enter your email, and it's that easy. And you subscribe to it, and you have a chance, and send us proof, obviously. And you have a chance to sit with us goofs at the game.
I don't know if you want to speak for yourself. But I think it's even going to be, we're going to have a lot of fun before. Maybe we'll bring a bowl to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. We'll have some seafood before. Anto could teach us how to eat some raw seafood.
Bring some octopus. We can give some soccer skill demonstration.
Bicycle kick.
You're going to teach somebody how to do a bicycle kick.
That's right.
Are you saying that now live on the podcast?
That's right.
That for the one person that comes.
Let me ask you something. Can we play tennis soccer?
That's a great idea.
We have the net.
Gaetano was saying
right.
before,
by the way, you and I will kill everybody.
Yeah, you
at
wish.
We'll bring the football.
And I'll bring my rackets. My tennis racket.
We'll tie to Antonio's fear on top.
we should do a bonus for this. You should also take one of these guys to a nice steak dinner. I think.
He owes us a few.
If they beat you in a one-on-one battle, if they could dribble you one-on-one.
If they beat you 1v1.
We'll do a dinner after with whoever comes.
We will see.
So, guys, very simple. CulturalWeekly.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. Show us proof, and you are entered to win a free ticket and to watch the game with us. Guys, I know you have a tactical breakdown that you're going to want to show us in a little bit. I want to talk.
Two of them.
You have two. Oh, big day.
Man. Oh, man.
There was one guy that really caught my eye. He's caught my eye all season. But Cup Miners of Atalanta is a brilliant player. Already hit double-digit goals. Already equaled his tally from last year in terms of scoring with 13 games to go. He's so great at breaking the lines and getting forward and adding to the attack. Mm-hmm. He's got, in his last 10 games, he scored nine goals, which just shows how ridiculous he is. And to rub salt in the wounds of Juventus fans, they were trying to get him all of January. He was one of the main targets. I think he increased his transfer value with the goals that he scored. What'd you guys think about him? And as we said that, I'll give you the board because I know you want to show something. Right?
You want me to do it now?
Talk about Cole Miners first.
I think Cole Miners, he improved so much, too, from the past couple of seasons. He's so smart. The goal that he scored, too, the little set piece, they definitely practiced that in training for sure against Juventus right outside the box with that shot. He's doing everything. He's scoring. He's assisting. He's got that vision. And Gaetano seems like he's going to show us
all analysis. So now that's it. Let's talk about that set piece, right?
Yeah.
I hope they can see it.
Peter's going to hold it.
I can hold it.
Peter will hold it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Just talking to the mic. Yeah.
Okay. So this was the set piece. This is
can
the ball.
Can you see it, Mike? Can you see it?
I'm assuming
this
so.
This is the ball. And they had Scamacca here and another player. I don't remember who he was. And this was the way that he was set up, right? Now, very smart. What did Cope Myers do? He came like this. Scamacca looked like he was going to take a shot. So he started running. He stopped. And then what happened is they passed the ball here and Cup Myers went here, took a shot, and it's a goal. I mean, this is elementary. If you're playing against my team over 65 and I'm the center midfield, there's no way that this area is open. If I'm a center midfielder, I'm right here. I mean, that's very basic. That's very basic. This is where all the goals come from. Most of the goals, the percentage of goals, they come from here. You got to put a play here. You cannot do this. And Juventus. You cannot do this. This guy comes here and he takes a shot. So very poor defending from Juventus.
For the people that are watching on audio, my dad's got a field right in front of him and he's showing the goal. This is when you don't have highlights. This is the way that we show highlights.
No copyrights. Yeah,
yeah, no copyright, please. Anto, how is Juventus leaving so much space and defensively, a team that we praised in the past matches ago, we were saying how great they were defensively. Now it seems like you got to score three goals if they want to win a match because they're always conceding two.
You know, Juventus, in some of the plays that Atalanta set up for them, they got caught flat-footed. I'll tell you, because Juventus is capable to do what Gaetano just said. They were not, the last thing that they were expecting, it was Cup Miners coming to the middle, take the ball and just go straight.
What does that
net.
Come down to? Though?
It comes down to be a little bit too nervous. The fact that Juventus already at that point tied the game, and you know, Cup Miner, you can never take this guy here for granted. He scored a spectacular goal against AC Milan. He put us out of our misery, even in Coppa Italia. Yeah, I mean, every time that we play Atalanta, he's the guy that's punishing us all the time. So Juventus, they should have done a little bit a better homework on this guy here and never give him too much space. The guy was free. Nobody was even close to this guy here. So even if you put somebody 4 or 5 yards near him, by the time he's going to get the ball, you can close the gap down and just make it a lot more difficult for him. But he was totally free to just take the ball, position the ball on the right spot, and boom, and just go for a goal.
I remember us talking about Juventus, and I remember us saying that, for me at least, and I think some of you guys agreed, they don't defend well. They defended in numbers. That's how they were doing great. It's not that they were incredible as individuals. Bremer's been really good. They've tried to put things together because they play in the back five and there's not a lot of spaces. Pete, where do you think things have fallen apart for this team? Because for me, it doesn't even look like the same squad. When you give up goals like this, I mean, how are you ever supposed to compete with the Scudetto, which is the goal coming into the season, was that?
I think losing to Inter and practically, you know, this gap becoming from what could have been a point or even Juventus going over ends up being 16. So I think once that happened, it kind of made a switch in a lot of these players. Where not so much that they gave up, but the attention to the detail has gone missing. So I think, like you said, you know, Juventus, they've known to be this great defensive team, but it was mostly because of how they would just pile in numbers and just kind of sit and wait and make sure that they were very hard to break down. When in a game like we saw yesterday, when Juventus is looking to play, there's more space, there's gaps. And it doesn't look like this Juventus of old where they will just be able to, you know, with a 1-0, be able to lock up field. So, I can't go crazy about it because, you know, at times in this season, Juventus were this, you know, Saracinese, as they say.
Saracinesca.
Right? Cinesca, scusa.
Cinese, it's a...
Yeah, I know. So...
What does that mean?
Saracinesca is a gate. It's a roll-up gate. Like when you shut it down, boom. Those metal gates.
So you're able to just shut down and that's it. You score that one goal and you're close, right? But I think since that Inter game, they've kind of
Saracinesca is synonymous with catenaccio. Catenaccio is the lock itself. Saracinesca is the gate that comes all the way down. That's it.
Dad, what do you think about McKennie? Obviously, one of the only bright spots.
I was surprised.
2 assists. To see him. Nobody really expected this coming forward.
Yeah, I don't know how many assists he has, but it seems like every goal that Juventus score, he's involved in it. And yesterday, again, I think he had both assists.
7 assists. 0 goals.
Another thing about Allegri, this 3-5-2 with Chiesa playing as a forward, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Chiesa is not forward. Can you play... Can you try something else and try maybe to play with Milik? If you want to play with two guys up front, put Vlahovic and Milik up there, okay? And I guess the better lineup...
Vlahovic was not available for this game.
Okay, I'm talking about... In general and I'm talking about the season, okay? You can also play the 4-4-2 where you have both Milik and Vlahovic up front and you have... Chiesa on one side and you can have Kostic or Ealing on the other side if you want to play with two forwards. If you want to play with one forward, which is what you believe, you can play the 4-2-3-1 and the three, Chiesa could be the three so that he's close to the area. He can dribble, he can go inside. But as a 3-5-2 with Chiesa being a point, to me, it doesn't work.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree with Gaetano. I think there's too many players out of position in that formation. And I feel like he's trying to make something do that doesn't really happen. I think he likes that formation because he likes when five defenders are dropped back for that reason. But you can get exposed. I think 3-5-2 is one of the hardest positions to really solidify. Very few teams could pull it off. Inter is one of the few teams that could pull it off. You need a machine for those wing backs. And you actually need players that play in the two up front. If you don't have players up there, they're going to be clueless because they don't play that formation. And Chiesa is one of those players that throughout his career, even from Fiorentina, he's played all around the park. Well,
where was
and
his
stuff.
Best moment? Winning the Euros with Italy when he could start as a winger. What I've noticed, because I watch a lot of games, not just Serie A games this weekend. I watched the Liverpool-Man City, which was one of the best games I've seen all year. It was an unreal match. I've watched a lot of Real Madrid. And I bring this up because both of those teams deal with a lot of injuries, right? They've had to promote youngsters. In the game against Liverpool, against Man City, going up against Manchester City, generational team, one of the best teams in the world. We could all agree, greatest talent. He had Bradley that was playing as a right back, Kwanzaa in the center back because he doesn't have Konate. He's got Harvey Elliott, all young kids, but he puts them in a position to succeed. And there's no excuses. They went out not to defend. And I thought to myself, I said, all right, he's missing all of these guys. He's going to bunker in. They're going to defend against Manchester City, try to get a tie. They did the complete opposite. They went out there with the proper mentality, take the game to Manchester City, and they made Manchester City struggle in few ways that we've ever seen the team struggle ever. And it's just, it's an idea. It's a philosophy. It's not leaning on excuses. And I feel like the more that I just keep watching games from other leagues and seeing other coaches and even coaches within our league, you just see there are some that find ways to always make trouble, even when they're hit with stuff that you would not expect them to be able to do well. So, I mean, I'm harping on the same problem with Juventus, but they've become very unwatchable. And sad to say, but they don't give you that emotion. that for Juventus fans, you deserve to feel the emotions for the amount of money that is invested with the coach and within the squad.
I got to tell you something. You know, Gaetano had a good point. Mike had another great point. But what I've seen from Juventus this year, when they bunker down, especially when they're winning the miserable 1-1 goal, 2-1, you went up one goal, you were down, you went up one goal. It's not that they have the two forwards, the 3-5-2. They don't have the two forwards, not even on three-quarter field. They're almost at the edge of the box. How? I mean, you have all of your players at the edge of the box. You're totally pressed in over there. Why don't you move them up a little bit more so you take some of the Atalanta's players away from the box? Because they will take that. Hey, you want to stay in front of your box? Okay, we'll come all the way down. And we're going to try to press you even harder. It's not easy to come out of the ball when you are pressed inside your box. So Allegri, to me, is not cutting it. So the hashtag that I've been reading lately, hashtag Allegri out, he has his own meaning. I mean, hey, you not.
What's the meaning?
The meaning is that you gotta go. You need to go. Have a nice day. Pack up and leave. So what I'm trying to say, is Allegri is a big disappointment. He's got the tools. He's got the player. He's got all the ingredients to make this Juventus become a good, an excellent team, and he's not using it. He knows. I think he's sticking. I said, I'm going to show you that even with my mentality, I'm going to grind it out. I think he's doing that in a spite. The guy is more of a spiteable coach than somebody that understands that what he's doing is wrong and he doesn't want to admit it.
For me, the communication is just the saddest part. Like, for me, a Juventus coach doesn't say the things that Allegri said about the team and where their expectations should be, the excuses that have come out. That's the biggest red flag. I mean, I even see, and you know, you can't compare as a coach. You can't compare Allegri and De Rossi because Allegri's won a lot more, and De Rossi is just at the beginning of his career. But just as an example, I listened to De Rossi speak, and he like charges you up. I mean, the guy makes no excuses. They tie a game, and it's like they lost the game. He's pissed off. They one time, I remember they kept a clean sheet, and he was like, no, this doesn't count as a clean sheet in my book because we conceded too many chances. We got lucky that our goalkeeper made so many saves. But it's just the idea of football, the idea of taking responsibility and owning up to what you're putting out on the pitch. And it's now 3 years. It's 3 years. The progress is not enough.
Well, De Rossi is also a captain, too. He's we see him play for Roma. After Totti, he was, you know, he's obviously still a god there. And even for that Zuri, even when he was there, he's an extremely humble person. I just feel like that's like a character trait. That's just who he is. And I feel like Allegri's been through Juventus. He's like a broken record over there. Like, even bringing him back, they brought him for stability. And they knew what they were going to get. So I don't even blame Allegri.
He brought stability.
He brought stability.
Stability and just
how
being.
Much could you blame Allegri? Because we knew he was going to change. He's not going to. You can't teach, you know.
An old dog, new tricks. I like that, Mike.
They expected what they're gonna get with him. So I put more blame on Juventus management for bringing him in. You know what I'm saying?
I like
you
that.
You got something to add?
You cannot teach an old dog new tricks.
So why don't we? I want to credit Atalanta as well, because they just continue to really impress me, and to go to Torino and to get 2-2, it's not simple. It's not simple for a lot of teams. And they have so many different pieces. Because I know you mentioned, how can you not mock the Cup Miners? But I think the strength of Atalanta has been the goals in different areas. They have so many quality players that you don't really know who to mark. And even them, they're kind of like in a down moment right now, which seems amazing, which seems ridiculous, I should say. Even their game against Sporting, I thought they were absolutely brilliant, where they deserved a lot more, and things haven't always gone their way. But since we talked about Roma, why don't we talk about the game against Fiorentina? And I know you want to show something again for that. Fiorentina, I mean, until the last moment, Fiorentina were in this game. That was probably the worst game that I've seen Roma play under De Rossi, right? They still managed to get a tie, which I think is a lot of credit towards them.
Yeah, I thought that was huge. First of all, I don't think Roma deserved anywhere near a point. But Svilar kept them in the game. And by the way, Svilar...
What a goalkeeper.
Svilar over Rui Patricio. What a breath of fresh air. I'm sure all the Roma fans fell in love with this guy because he's incredible.
They can't imagine that he's been on the bench.
It's crazy, like
you can't
right?
fathom.
It's crazy.
But this talent.
Mourinho, I'm so mad at Mourinho right? for keeping him on. I don't know if it's a Portuguese Mourinho, connection Mourinho, with Mourinho. His agent or whatever the case is. Because Villar was great. And they ended up scoring in the last seconds of...
Last play.
It was, I think, 95.
And 95th. Over the 95th.
When in reality, Biragi missed that penalty where they should have closed it. It should have been 3-1.
Guys but instead can't score
they
a penalty.
But instead, they kept it in. Yep. And, you know, good teams, even when they're not playing good, they managed to not lose. And that's what De Rossi did. With Mourinho, I don't know if they would have done that, to be honest with you.
It's so funny that Fiorentina, 7 out of 7 penalties in 2023, they scored. Now they missed 4. 2024.
Who was taking the penalty?
It was Biragi. Nico Gonzalez last year was the They've tried so many different players. Yeah. And they even won a penalty shootout. You guys remember they won the penalty shootout in the Coppa Italia?
Recently.
I don't know what it is, but there's some psychological hump. I feel like Fiorentina games are, I feel like they've stolen your motto, the Pazza Inter. It's like Pazza Viola. Every one of their games, you never know how it's going to end. Even in the Conference League against Maccabi Haifa. Oh. It's ridiculous. You can't even explain what goes on.
Back and forth, up and down. Thank God they pulled the truth. But,
what you think, Pete?
I mean, Fiorentina, they get caught in these situations. And it's really, you know, unfortunate because they go on and play this fantastic football. When they're unstoppable. But you know, in the end, the stat that counts. You don't like stats, right, Anton?
No, the final score.
It's not that I don't like it. I just don't live my life based on stats.
It's the goal scored. And ultimately, you miss another penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have someone that's going to step up and take the shot and take the responsibility of the team. That right there, you go up 3-1, game is over. It's done. Mm-hmm. And those are 3 points. And like this game, there's been a hand. I think you probably have to use 2 hands to count the amount of game that Fiorentina lost like this.
So that shows what you wanted to show us.
So I want to say first, good job by Italiano. I think he did everything right. I mean, he put pressure on Roma from the beginning, almost for a whole half. Then in the second half, he dropped back a little bit to midfield. And then up until the 90 minute, Fiorentina put a high pressure. And to me, he did everything right. They had the penalties. You scored the penalty. You win 3-1. Great job by Italiano. But things didn't work out this way. But
wrong
I
wanna, penalty kicker, right? Huh? He picked the wrong penalty kicker.
Right. Come on, he can't put the ball into the back of the net. He's tried so many guys.
I want to show you what De Rossi did, which impressed me a lot. Okay? So De Rossi started with 3-5-2. You know who was this player over here? This player over here was Angelino.
Mm-hmm.
He's a left fullback. He started as on the 3-5. He started on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is, the first time that Fiorentina came down, Mancini, yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
You know where they came down? They came down from this side, from the right side. The second time they came down, you know, they took a beautiful shot. They almost scored. Fiorentina, from where? From the right side. You know when Fiorentina scored the goal? The Fiorentina scored the goal from the right side, from here. You know what Angelino was doing? Angelino was here. If you're playing the 3-5-2, you got to be here. You got to be here with one eye on the ball and one eye on the defender. You don't set up yourself here.
Mm. He was picking daisies.
Yeah. So what did De Rossi do? The first thing, Llorente over here, Mancini over here. That's in the first half. After 30 minutes... Mancini got in trouble. What did he do?
He took him out.
He had the courage to take Mancini out. Mm-hmm. You never seen a substitution in the first half. Mm. For tactical reason, he took Mancini out. What did he do in the second half? In the second half, he saw that Fiorentina was playing much better. Fiorentina was all over the field. This is what he did. He put Huzen here. He put Ndika here. You know where Angelino ended up? Angelino ended up here. You know with what? With 4 defenders. Now with 3 defenders. Mm. He changed it to 4.
Mm.
Okay? And Angelino was here. He was going up over here. Huzen was going up over here. All of a sudden, the game changed. Cristante was playing over here. He got him inside the area. He changed the whole tactical for the second half. The second half, if you guys remember, Roma started to play much better. And Angelino was going up. He was making crosses. De Rossi made more changes in one game than Allegri has made in all year. Okay?
Tactical change, right?
Allegri's got... He can't make any changes.
He doesn't adapt.
I really
That's a good shout.
Thought that De Rossi did a great job, and he was not afraid to make the changes. You know, even in the first half, to substitute one of the players. And Mancini... is the captain of the team. I mean, you changing the captain of the team, the leader. But listen, he impressed me. De Rossi impressed me.
Good point.
I mean, it is good too, because Gaetano, at the end of the day, how many coaches would do that? And especially for De Rossi, like a newer coach, it's refreshing to see that new kind of era of football that you want to try to promote. If you see something's not working, a lot of the coaches live and die on their philosophy, and whatever happens, they just stick it through for the most part. So making a substitution too in the first half, that's pretty much unheard of for modern day coaches. So it is very nice to see.
And they absolutely battered Brighton in the Europa League.
Incredible.
Made me very, very proud. I knew they were going to win. I was sure that they would win the match. I never expected 4-0. In that sort of fashion as 4-0. And, you know, we've spoken a lot about mentality on this, but I remember at the 1-0, and I see De Rossi on the sideline. He's like this. He's like, come on. We scored one. Let's go. 2-0. You see him again, encouraging his team. And there's a confidence. Like when they scored the one goal, even before I saw that, I said, oh, they're going to go for a second goal. They're not going to stop. They're going to go for a third goal. And I just love the way that he's brought to this team. And it's also a balanced approach. It's not always just flying forward. It's we can adapt in moments when we need to adapt, and they've pretty much secured their qualification to the next round in the first leg. So there's no more of those old calculations of the past from Italian teams in Europa League where we got to balance this, we got to do that. Okay, let's not overexpose ourselves. It's let's take our style to the next level. Let's take it to the opponent. And there was a viral moment. You guys didn't see it because you guys are not on social media. But in August... You know, Brighton went so viral with De Zerbi. And we love De Zerbi. You know, no shade thrown there. But there's this English page, English YouTube channel that said Brighton would compete for the Scudetto in Serie A because of the style that they play. And they are more of an attractive club to go to than a Milan, for example. So the clip was...
Thanks for bringing that up, by the way.
The clip was circulating once Roma beat them 4-0.
Hey, listen, De Zerbi, he's De Zerbi, okay? That's why everybody's got De Zerbi on the top of their tongues, because he's one of the best coaches that we have.
Dancing on their tongues.
Yeah, we're one of the best coaches that we have in Europe. So the fact that I think that they lost very miserably because... I mean, I'm going to try to find an excuse for him, but they didn't have five or six of their starter, number one. And number two, because Roma, they played at their best.
They had chances, too.
They had a few chances, but Roma really outplayed them tactically and physically, too. They were much better.
If I'm not wrong, you've never been a crazy big fan of De Zerbi, right?
No, I never said that.
No?
Did you just make something up?
That's why I asked.
No, I never said that.
No? You know what, Duggar?
In fact... I don't know if I told you, but I'm going to YouTube to check some of the Brighton highlights, you know, to see how he plays, because I don't watch. If I watch a Premier League, you know, you usually watch Europe Liverpool and you watch Man United, you watch Arsenal, things
Man
like
United.
That. Or
Man City, United don't Man play City, good.
Well, if when Man United plays Liverpool or Man City, Man United, like
you
I
have
watch,
to watch it.
I
yeah,
watch
yeah.
that
You're
game,
forced
Man City,
to watch
Man
them.
United. But I've been going to watch to see because there was this, everybody was talking about the Zerbi. Yeah. So I wanted to see
his teams are just exposed in the back.
Yeah,
that's my only thing.
Mm.
Anyway, anybody else? Anything on this game? Or go next topic.
Let's go to next topic.
All right, this one you'll like.
I like
Antonio,
it.
Antonio, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Has Christian Pulisic exceeded expectations when Milan signed him in the summer? He's got 10 goals, 7 assists. He's played 38 matches. Last year for Chelsea, he had a combined 3 goals and assists. He said after the match, I feel a lot of belief behind me at Milan. I think I'm in the best form of my career. One of the big criticisms or downsides to Christian Pulisic was always his fitness, if he can maintain it at a good level. So has he exceeded expectations?
For me, so far, yes. And I'll tell you the reasons why. when I starting to get Pulisic, his name on the under the radar, on my ear, I started to watch him playing in Chelsea. At the very beginning that he came on the EPL, this guy here, this guy was unstoppable. Then he went through the injury. He was unstoppable. I seen him just doing incredible things. So all of a sudden, his name starting to lose a little of the stocks and the importance. He got benched. He got sidelined. He got in trouble physically. Now, all of a sudden, AC Milan, because of Cardinale, he brings Musa and he brings him because he wants the American brand within Milan. And this guy here, I had a lot of hopes, but I wanted to keep myself. I said, I just hope we didn't overdone with this kid here. But from the very first game, mm-hmm. he is impressed me way over the top. Mm-hmm. The guy comes into the game and he gives more than 100%. I rarely can say that Pulisic has not done his job when he's on the field. He has given everything that he has and he's got quality. His game has got quality. He takes the man one-on-one. He can score. He can assist. He can do everything that you've been asked from. This is what a forward should be doing. Actually, a wing should be doing. Like him.
Mike, you're rolling your eyes.
No, I mean, if you had Macias and Salzmaker, Pulisic looks like Maradona playing at Milan. Compare the goal contribution.
Don't go there.
But it's true. Am I wrong?
Who do you have better than Pulisic in Serie A right now?
That's fine. But
I'm just saying, compared to Pulisic, Macias and Salzmaker that you had in previous years, Pulisic, the number he's putting up, he's that much better than them.
So but he asked the question about Pulisic, not Messias.
Has he exceeded expectations?
I think so, for sure. I mean, at Chelsea, he wasn't a real starter, and his goals and assists weren't up there at all. So he lost a lot of confidence. So I was nervous that maybe his first season not going to be that good, and maybe the second he'll be better. But the first season, he like fit in like a glove immediately.
With
so
all
I'm
the changes
surprised.
At Milan, too.
Exactly. It's like a whole new squad.
Pete, you followed him for a long time, obviously being in America.
Well, his thing is he's always been a fantastic player. I think the real question mark has been his health. Mm-hmm. And has he been able to be on the field for a full season? And, you know, just this year, 38 games already, you know, putting the numbers that he's putting as a winger, it's pretty impressive. You know, he scored, that's a combined of 17 goals, you know, between assist and,
goal and
goals. So, you know, he's definitely exceeded expectations. And I think even for the price that Milan has paid, it's a steal.
What was it? Do you remember? I remember thinking that it was a steal.
20s, I think.
Yeah, it was.
I'll check in the meantime. So,
and this is
no
the same
wonder why
player
they call
that,
him Captain American.
Well,
Pete,
this is the same player that, you know, when he went to Chelsea, went for 70, 73 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a $50 million difference,
I think. Yeah, 20 million.
Yeah.
20 so, million, that's what I thought.
It's a very good deal.
Extremely
so it's good. An amazing deal for this market, it's a for a winger, for an American, you know, captain also, U.S. national team player. Like you mentioned, can do it all. I think the one thing that, you know, I still, you know, I don't feel 100% is when it's the top game or the final, let's say, a game that's difficult, is he the man that's going to win a game?
I still have confidence
that's
on him.
I think Leao
I don't have confidence on his sub, but Chukwueze, but so far
Chukwueze has not been
it's been a disappointment.
And he was paid 20 million plus 8 million in bonus.
Yeah, Chukwueze was not.
So that one so far hasn't.
Well, the difference
is a couple of guys that you signed this year that have not been that great.
For me, the difference is Pulisic at least is a technical player. So like even with his speed and his ability to turn, he's a very sound technical player. Whereas Chukwueze, if he doesn't beat you with speed, he's not going to be able to.
Yeah, he's a headless chicken.
He reminds me of, remember the old Ronaldo commercials in Premier League where he was just doing, there was a commercial where he was doing a million step overs and then somebody came in and stole the ball from him like out of nothing. I feel like I've seen Chukwueze, not to compare Chukwueze and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Don't even
but just
in the same sentence.
That specific moment made me think of it. Any different thoughts on Pulisic? Or?
Well, I've never been a big Pulisic, because I think in the big game it doesn't show up. But definitely, he has exceeded expectation. He's got 10 goals. He's got 7 assists. And if I think of Chiesa, which I think he's got 6-7 goals, and you think, you know, Chiesa, Pulisic, they're not in the same sentence. Chiesa is supposed to be this superstar that is supposed to be the savior. So has he exceeded? Yes, definitely. I think for Serie A, he's a very good player. and he can do some damage. Once you get him, I agree with him, once you get him to the final or once you get him to that game, which, you know, you need somebody to make the difference. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe he's got it. And I'm hoping that I'm wrong and I see that in That's the future. Fair.
The only thing about that is Pioli, you could talk about him tactically. You could debate. I think we could debate that. But I think he's a very good man manager. He gets along with his players and he puts them in the right position to succeed. We've seen that countless of times. So for me, Pulisic and Chiesa, you've got one manager that plays to his strengths with Pulisic.
That's true.
And another manager that doesn't play to his strengths with Federico Chiesa.
Plays him out of position.
For me, Chiesa is way more talented, but he's not put in the position.
Yeah. If he's used in the correct way, yeah, I would think so also.
But anyway.
If Chiesa would play with Milan,
I think he would
score a lot more goals.
I would think so too, yeah.
If Chiesa was playing at Milan,
I would think so.
He would kill it. So, yeah. He would tear it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's just more freedom in attack. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more individual the quality.
The formation that he needs
fits him
to succeed.
For sure.
I agree with that. Guys, we have Champions League coming up. If you're watching this podcast, it could even be today for Barcelona against Napoli in Barcelona. The rumors are that there's a 10 million bonus on the line for Napoli players, according to Aurelio De Laurentiis, or according to reports, I should say. They say that he's going to distribute 10 million amongst the team if they could qualify, because the Club World Cup is on the line, which generates huge revenues. It's between Juventus and Napoli to go through. If Napoli go out, Juventus will go to the Club World Cup. If Napoli pass through, Napoli will go through. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. How do we feel, first off, with Napoli's chances? We lost the first Italian team in Europe. The rest of our squads have been doing unbelievable. Napoli tied 1-1 at home. Wasn't a good match by their standards. Calzona had the team for like 24 hours before. They managed to get the 1-1 through Osimhen's brilliance. How do we feel about this Napoli side right now going to Barcelona and pulling away with the result?
I think they should take the game to Barcelona. Just going, expecting you to go in the Camp Nou and then try to manage the game to a point where you do not want to concede too much, or you don't want to open yourself too much. That's going to be a big mistake. Just play your style of soccer. Just go there, and you have the tools, you have the players, especially with Osimhen, with Kvara, with Lobotka, with the midfield, with Anguissa. You have the tools and you have the players. I think Napoli defensively is a little stronger than Barcelona. It's not what we had last year.
You think
year.
They're stronger than slightly, Barcelona?
Slightly.
Last year
with Kim, it was I think one of the best defense. But this year, I mean,
Barcelona conceded 34 games in 28 matches.
34 goals. So, I mean, it did not conceded
34. Napoli conceded 32 goals.
Hello.
In 28 games.
Hello.
English.
Okay.
I know, that doesn't matter. So, but
it's Mike. It just
it doesn't matter. Up. I thought it was going to be way worse.
Those are stats.
Oh, yeah.
Those are only stats, okay?
You love the stats. Yeah. Love
I like it. So those are only stats. That's so funny. I say just play your style. Do not try to micromanage every little thing. Just go
Calzona
there.
Calzona doesn't do that.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know.
No, in his first matches, I would say that he tried to resort back to the principles that Spalletti had.
Make the wrong runner take the speed to Barcelona. Barcelona, if you attack them, they're going to choke. So if you wait for them, they're going
to...
Mikey? Yeah. I mean, to be honest, watching the first leg, the first 15 minutes, I was like, oh my God, Napoli going to need a miracle if they could pull off a draw. But then after 20 minutes, I think Napoli kind of weathered down the storm of the Barcelona attacking. And they ended up getting a 1-1 draw, which I thought overall was solid. I would have took that seeing the first few minutes of the game, because it looked really scary on Napoli's part. But they are playing the second leg. They are playing.
There's no more.
It's good.
They are playing in Barcelona, and it's they're not the same Barcelona as years ago, but still Barcelona, still intimidating at the Camp Nou. It's going to be extremely tough. But ADL put a little incentive, 10 million. Who's good at math? What is that? What, 23-man roster? What is that? Under a half a million each, 300,000 each. What is it, around there? Think about a Primavera player that gets called up.
He's only going to give it to the whoever plays the game.
You think?
He's going to give it to the 14 players that go into the match.
You don't think it's going to be the whole match? I think it's going to be the...
Even the locker rooms guys, they're going to get
I'm
it.
I was just saying before, imagine...
Nobody's getting any money, by the way. That's first of all. He's going to be like, listen, you saw that in the news. You didn't hear it from me.
All the Napoli in the Primavera, all the Napoli players are playing extra good in training to hope to get that call up for the Napoli game in case, you know, they make it. So you get like, what, 300,000 euros if you win that game? That's huge, especially for a kid or whatever. But regardless, it is going to be tough. I do feel like the bookies have the favor of Barca on this game. I think they are the favorites. I think it's going to be like 60 to Barcelona, 60-40 on this one. But anything can happen. It's a 1-1. It's tied. So it's going to be tough.
Napoli's away record is actually better than their home record, which is interesting. I know you mentioned them playing playing away. For some reason, their home form has not been as good.
Excuse me, Peter. Well, I respectfully disagree with you.
Which part?
The pressure is on Barcelona to win. It's not on Napoli. So Napoli, I think they have a lot less pressure than Barcelona.
I think
I didn't mention the pressure.
The away form is important, but more importantly is the run of form. So this Napoli team is a very different Napoli team than... You know, the last time they played Barcelona. So they've had some important victories versus Juventus, to name one. And I think the biggest thing is Kvara and Osimhen really stepping up. And Kvaratskhelia this past week has looked unreal. And I think if you are going to pass, you know, the next stage, obviously the 10 million incentive is amazing.
It's huge.
But on the field, Kvaratskhelia, Osimhen, Lobotka, those guys really need to step up. And the defense has to be, you know, stop Lewandowski because he's a special player. He's the type of player that if you give that little space, as we saw, he can hurt you. And you don't want that 1 year away.
Funny enough, they asked Xavi one player, take one Napoli player. Who do you think he chose?
I know already, so I won't say it. Okay.
He was here watching, right?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I did not. Robotka has been my favorite player of the old squad
last year. Since this afternoon.
No.
He didn't choose Robotka.
I picked up Robotka over Osimhen and Kvara.
He didn't choose Robotka.
All right, I don't care who chose.
I just wanted to see if he was going to come back. He did go.
Who did he pick?
He picked Osimhen.
All right, who cares?
No, for context, he did pick Lobotka. I wanted to see if Antonio was going to back down. I know you saw. I was here with you.
No, I didn't see that.
You promise?
Right. I promise.
Yeah, Mike. I think...
What the hell are you guys doing?
I think that Lobotka, Anguissa, Osimhen, Kvara, Kvaratskhelia, I think they can do the job. Politano, they can do the job. What I'm afraid is the defense cannot do the job. I do not like Jesus.
Juan Jesus is a terrible.
Yeah. Who does?
Juan Jesus is a nightmare. And then they have the left fullback, which I don't know if he's going to play. I think it's Oliveira. Oliveira is a disaster. So I hope that he disappears.
Say something positive.
I did say something positive. I said Lobotka, Anguissa, Osimhen, Politano.
Oliveira is expected to start.
Yeah.
It's expected to be Di Lorenzo, Rachmani, Juan Jesus, Oliveira in the back. God.
So,
don't even take the flight.
Between those two guys, they are a nightmare. And like he said, Lewandowski, you give him an inch, oh my God, he's going to burn you.
That's true.
I don't know. They didn't scare me as much, though. Am I being naive to say that? Yeah,
I think it was just an off match.
They played really great. Barcelona played great. But then at the 1-1, it was Napoli that was closer to getting the second goal than it was Barcelona to get
the second
goal.
Oh, you're saying early in the first game. Okay, I thought you meant
the
player.
I wasn't as scared as I was expecting.
They're not as scary because even this year in the league, they're not doing so hot. But at the same time, you have individual players. You know, they're still Barcelona. They're still at home. Yeah, they're still a team to be respected.
For sure.
So, yeah, it's not the Barcelona of the past. That's for sure. Napoli has the chance to play. Before Barcelona, you should be like, okay, you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but Pete, this year, Xavi's job, we know it is on the line, is gone. Yeah. But this is, it's breathing apparatus is getting this close to be totally choked out. If Xavi loses tomorrow, he's done.
Yeah, because that's the only trophy he has left, I think, right? Done. So he has to kind of perform.
I mean, they're not out of La Liga. completely.
So they did grasp
it. I think 6 points and Madrid have a game.
If he loses tomorrow, it's over.
Madrid have a game.
Okay, but still, they didn't play that game.
Mm. Okay, but
that, I don't think they have a chance on La Liga.
Calling if by
no,
chance.
They don't have a game in hand. They
what
have
is it? How many points?
8 points.
Oh, it's over.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but
it's over.
They're not going to sack Xavi if he loses this game.
No, I mean, there's pressure. That's what I meant. That is exactly.
It's not the same situation as Bayern Munich, I think, with Tuchel.
No, that's different.
Let's talk about the last Champions League game. Okay. Before we get out of here, Inter against Atletico. I started the show with a hot take, and I maybe have a second one. I'm very nervous for this game.
Me too.
I think I'm more nervous than
me too.
than a lot of people are, because I watched the highlights again of Inter and Atletico, and watching the game back, I can't believe how it ended 1-0. And I've watched Atletico play against Cadiz, who's a bottom of the table team, you know, relegation threatened squad. In Cadiz, and they won 2-0 against Atletico. Because away from home, Atletico are a very, very, very poor side. Defensively, they're in shambles. But at home, they seem to always come alive. And Inter's in the form of their life, I agree. Maybe this is just me, you know, overthinking everything. But I'm scared that 1-0 in the first leg could come back to haunt us.
You need to calm down, okay? So...
Calm me down.
I mean, what's his name? Lautaro is capable to do anything that you know that he wants. I mean, if you just let him play, he's gonna do the job. But if you do not respect both Griezmann and his buddy over there, right on top,
Morata,
then you have a lot of problem. Because all of those rumors that Atletico at the Wanda is a lot more dangerous, has nothing to do with it. It's just
Wanda. They are more dangerous.
It's only smoke right there in the air. It's just you just going over there and just totally disrespect the stats and everything else that goes on. Just go over there. If Inter plays a regular game, a regular Serie A game, like any team, they're going to win. If they over-respect Atletico, then
to counteract my point, though, Inter is unbeaten away from home.
But, I mean, to be fair, looking at the first leg, yeah, I think we're all getting a little butterflies because it's just a Champions League night. And we know these Champions League nights, they're unpredictable sometimes. But we saw the first leg. Inter deserved to win a few goals. They were extremely unlucky
They didn't.
I know they didn't. But I'm not as scared because out of all the teams, we're talking about Inter. And out of all the teams that we watched...
one bad night.
I know, I get it. Home. But Inter's one of those teams, though. I just feel like if everything goes according to plan, I think you can never be 100% sure, right? If they continue what they did in the first leg, I think they're going to go through. They just didn't finish their chances like they're expected to. I remember Lautaro missed a huge chance in front of the net. There's a few other chances. Arnautovic missed two other chances when he got subbed in. But it's going to be tough. It's a different game. Simeone, we know what kind of coach he is. He possesses that respect, that anger, that passion. He's just one of those Grinta coaches that the team wants to fight for. But
Pete,
we'll
calm me down.
Listen, I think for the first, for me, I think Inzaghi this year has proven to not underestimate any team.
Yeah.
Okay, he's done it in Serie A where everyone's like, why aren't you doing this turnover? Why, like, you're so far ahead? But he doesn't care. He knows that he needs to win every game or put his team in the best position to win. So in a one-off match, Inzaghi is probably one of the best tactical preparer for his team. He's won so many finals and, you know, very nearly or whatever, had a very good game versus Manchester City, right, in the Champions League final. So... I think he'll know how to prepare this game. One thing that I would say is Thuram only played one half that game and was already struggling towards the middle of that first half with an injury. Okay, he'll be 100%. Lautaro, last game in Serie A, did not play a minute. So he's fresh. He has 7 days where he's been able to just train and be prepared for this game. So those two guys are going to be very important, along with the Inter team that we know can play. I'm interested in seeing Inzaghi and how he's going to prepare this team, because in the past we had to verse a Porto last year, which was the same or similar situation, a Consensao. It was very similar like the Simeone, tough nose, physical team of Porto, the physical coach. And at Porto, it was also a tall ask to win in Porto or pass the group stage. And we were able to do that. So I feel confident that this team has the experience. You're in the Champions League at this point. You're gonna have tough games, and you're gonna have to win or at least get results away from home. I got
goosebumps already.
So
Champions League is go the ahead, best. So there's nothing like this competition. Yeah.
This is not a Serie A game. This is a different different animal. I mean, this is one game, and I think that if Inter goes there with the mentality that you're gonna win this game, you're not scared of anybody. Inter should not be scared of anybody. They have the team to play against anybody. They play against Man City, who was the Champions League winner, and they play just as well and just as good as Man City. So if you go there with the mentality, hey, as soon as they come out of the area, you put pressure and you go there with the mentality, hey, we got to win this game. Not that we win and we want to defend. No, you got to go there. We are just better than Atletico Madrid. I think they're going to come out winners.
Marco, listen to this. Last thing. You're playing at the Wanda. You know what Simeone is going to do?
Wanda.
You know what Simeone is going to do? He's going to, for 15 minutes, he's going to put so much pressure on you. He's going to try to just crash you inside your midfield. So once you weather the storm over there, the first 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes. The game is over. It's
so they're
going to
stop the game after 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's over. The game is over. Inter midfield is way superior.
The good thing is that Inter has shown that they could that they're very comfortable in multiple situations, whether they need to be the ones that take the game to an opponent or they have to sit in because they're... Thiago Motta actually said it. He said when you're down a goal, which Atletico is down a goal to Inter, he said they are so deadly on their counter that the more that you press up to try to score a goal, the more danger you actually have to your own team because they're so quick and they're so vertical and they have passing options that get in behind at extreme speeds. And the Atletico defense, again, I watched the entire game. Atletico Cadiz, my gosh, defensively, Atletico Madrid have like lost. They make schoolboy errors. So we hope that they can make a couple of errors on Wednesday night. And as I've mentioned before, this is a massive, massive, massive week for Italy in getting the fifth spot. Yeah. If we do our job this week, if we get at least one, we pray for two, but at least one, I think the fifth spot
is pretty much
first of all, speak for yourself. Okay? Number one, Italy. It's the four of you.
Okay.
Me, if Inter loses, that will be the biggest thing for me. Okay?
No, so you want Napoli?
Yeah, I want Napoli.
Okay, so you got one team either way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inter, it's very obvious that I don't want them to win. For Simeone, please, do a miracle tomorrow.
I'm just going to be watching the Europa League, right, on Thursday.
Do we let him in on Wednesday? Are you coming on Wednesday? You're coming? Yeah.
For me, I mean, if the Inter loses, a party time. I'll take everybody to Peter Luger.
He's going to kill you.
All I know is that every time you say it, nothing happens. So.
But this time it's going to happen.
Oh, we got to record it. We got to record it.
We're on? Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, we're not on.
We're just talking
guys,
to ourselves.
Thank you all for watching. Like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and we'll talk to you soon. And make sure you enter the giveaway. Come watch the Italy game with us. Subscribe to Calcio Weekly.
Well, are these lights supposed to be on?
Oh, my God. They're off. Scared me. And Forza?
Marco,
Forza Atletico.
Marco.